Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. To honor Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month this March, we're talking with an expert about the ins and outs of this rare form of cancer. The diagnosis of multiple myeloma can be daunting and overwhelming, but according to Dr. Andrew Yee, an assistant professor of medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center, it is also a very treatable disease. As Yee went on to explain, the majority of patients do very well with treatment and continue to live their fullest lives possible. After presenting a Cure's Educated Patient Summit on multiple myeloma earlier this month, Dr. Yee sat down with Cure to discuss the signs and symptoms of the disease, what the current treatment paradigm looks like, and offer some advice to newly diagnosed patients.
First off, thank you again, Dr. Yee, for taking the time to speak with me today. Could you possibly start off by offering some insight into just what multiple myeloma is as a disease?
Right, and thanks, Jessica, for interviewing and allowing me to talk about multiple myeloma. So for those in the audience who may not be familiar with this, multiple myeloma is a cancer of plasma cells. So when I meet a patient with multiple myeloma, I usually talk about how, you know, any cell in the body can become cancerous. So some patients' breast cells become breast cancer, lung cells can become lung cancer. But then when a white blood cell becomes cancerous, it kind of depends on what kind of white blood cell it is. So some white blood cells, when they become cancerous, we call it lymphoma. And other types of white blood cells, we call it leukemia. And then there's a very special type of white blood cell called the plasma cell. And the plasma cell is a type of white blood cell that lives in the bone marrow, and it makes antibodies to protect you from infection. And when a plasma cell becomes cancerous and causes trouble, then it's called multiple myeloma. Now, multiple myeloma, it's not a very common cancer. So when I see a patient for the most time, this is the first time they've ever heard of it before. And then sometimes it gets confused with, you know, melanoma, right? But myeloma is a white blood cell cancer where there are about, you know, 35,000 new cases diagnosed in the US per year. And to put that in perspective, there are about, you know, 250,000 lung cancer cases diagnosed a year. So just to put it in perspective. And, you know, the average age of someone who's diagnosed with myeloma is 69.
So what are some of the warning signs or symptoms that patients should be on the lookout for when it comes to this?
Right. That's a good question. So in multiple myeloma, when these plasma cells become cancerous, they can cause one or more of several problems. Now, these cells live in the bone marrow, and when they go bad, they can soften the bone and cause bone problems. So they can cause breaks in the bone. So sometimes some patients present with a break in the bone, say in the back, like a compression fracture or a bone-related pain, like, you know, or like in the leg or the arm or in the ribs, for example. Sometimes when these cells soften the bone, they can release extra calcium. So that can sometimes be associated with, you know, some mental fogginess. These cells live in the bone marrow, and the bone marrow is where the blood's made. And so when these cells become bad, they can affect your bone marrow's ability to make blood. And as a result, you can have low blood counts, and that can cause fatigue. And then sometimes when the products of these myeloma cells, these antibodies, the light chains, they can clog up the kidney. They can cause kidney trouble. So some patients can have kidney dysfunction that can result in fatigue. So to summarize, when they show up, they can either show up because they present with a bone-related problem that leads to an evaluation by, you know, their physician, or they can present with fatigue, and the fatigue can lead to blood work that shows low blood counts, or it can show kidney trouble. Now, increasingly, some patients, when they're diagnosed, they don't have any symptoms. And sometimes the healthcare provider can be astute enough to pick up on some abnormalities in the blood that might be a tip off that multiple myeloma might be a possibility.
So then can you explore what the current treatment paradigm for myeloma looks like right now?
Sure. So now I wish I could say that we have a cure for multiple myeloma. I mean, the best case scenario would be, I wish I could say, you know, we have a treatment that would cure the disease. So as of 2021, we don't have a cure for multiple myeloma. But on the other hand, what is great news is that the treatments we do have are really extremely effective, and the treatments have really gotten significantly better in the past, you know, past years and decade. So the treatments, not only are they very effective in terms of helping patients treat the symptoms and helping patients live better and live longer, but the treatments are also are tolerated very well. So, I mean, I think that's a key point to emphasize, is that the treatments we have in multiple myeloma, you know, they're user-friendly might be kind of an overstatement, but the point I'm trying to get across is that, you know, we can give these really effective treatments to patients across a broad spectrum of age. So as I mentioned, you know, the average age of diagnosis is someone who's 69. And that also means that a fair number of our patients are older and, you know, not as, you know, sturdy as compared to some younger patients. And we're able to give, you know, really effective treatments to, you know, our patients who are on the older side and who are not as sturdy.
And what are some of those treatments?
Okay, right. So in the past, you know, decade or so, there have been several broad drug classes. And what is unique about multiple myeloma is that the drugs we use in multiple myeloma are sort of very specific to multiple myeloma. They're not really used in other cancer types. So we can divide the drugs in several classes. One drug class is corticosteroids. And this is a drug class that's been used for decades in multiple myeloma and in other cancer types. So typically, you know, this drug is dexamethasone. And then another class of drugs that we typically think about for newly diagnosed patients are drugs that belong to the immunomodulatory drug class. So a typical drug is known as lenalidomide or Revlimid, and that's closely related to a drug that many in the audience may have heard of before called thalidomide. Now, it turns out that, you know, thalidomide had awful, you know, causes awful birth defects, but people were able to, you know, scientists years ago were able to discover that this drug, thalidomide, is really effective in multiple myeloma. And there have been several developments, including this drug, Revlimid, which is one of the cornerstone treatments in multiple myeloma. Another drug class is a drug class called proteasome inhibitors. And there are several drugs that belong to that drug class, such as bortezomib, also known as Velcade, or carfilzomib, also known as Kyprolis, and ixazomib, also known as Ninlaro. So for example, so Velcade is a common drug that's commonly used. And then there's also another drug class that's important, and it's a monoclonal antibody that targets CD38, which is on the surface of plasma cells. And that's also known as, you know, daratumumab is one example of an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody that is approved for newly diagnosed patients. So what I mentioned is there are different drugs, and I wanted to emphasize is that there can be various combinations of these drugs that can be used. So a lot depends on, you know, when you see your provider, a lot of the treatment decisions are sort of tailored towards the patient, the individual patient, and then we take into account, you know, the side effect profiles of these drugs, the schedule of these drugs, as well as, you know, patients, you know, what other illnesses that they have, as well as their priorities. So at the end of the day, when you see an oncologist, we try to come up with a combination that's tailored to the patient.
Yeah. So then you mentioned that these are generally well tolerated, but are there some side effects to potentially look out for? And how can patients kind of anticipate and work with their team to kind of combat them?
Right. So across the board for treatments in general for, you know, multiple myeloma is that, you know, any of these treatments can lower blood counts and increase risk for infection. So there's always some risk for infection that's associated with these treatments. And in particular, there's risk for shingles, for example. And so typically patients are on medications to help prevent shingles from developing. But at the same time, while there is some increased risk for infection, I mean, generally speaking, you know, patients don't have to, you know, they don't have to live in a bubble. So, you can continue on with your usual activities, and everyone nowadays is paying extra attention to, you know, hand washing and things of that nature. So there is some increased risk for infection, but I don't think it's a dramatic increased risk for infection where you have to change your day-to-day routine. Some other side effects that we think about would be, you know, with lenalidomide, also known as Revlimid, there's always a small risk of developing a second cancer, but in general, the benefits of the treatment is so effective that it outweighs that risk, but it is something that I do have to acknowledge upfront when I discuss this with patients. And it can also be associated with blood clots, and that's why we talk about patients generally are on aspirin to help prevent risk for blood clots. And also, there's also risk for rash. And then for drugs like, you know, Velcade, there can be a risk of having, you know, some numbness and tingling in the feet. And that's something that we pay attention to as we see patients. And then, with daratumumab, there's some risk for having an allergic reaction to the treatment. And it also depends on how you receive the drug. And typically, traditionally, when the drug was first developed, it was given intravenously. Now we're moving towards giving it as a subcutaneous form, like a shot in the stomach, and the risk of having an allergic reaction is less. Now, of all the drugs, though, in terms of the side effects, I think most patients do complain about side effects associated with the dexamethasone, the corticosteroid. So I think of all the drugs, the dexamethasone is a drug that we kind of more frequently adjust the dosing of it to help patients feel to gain the benefit as well as help improve the tolerability of it. And you know, dexamethasone, also known as Decadron, it can be like a double-edged sword. So some patients, when they take the drug, they feel amazing on the drug in terms of, you know, all their any problems kind of all melt away in terms of bone-related problems, fatigue, they all melt away, and they feel great on it. On the other hand, now, some patients, it can also affect, you know, it can cause mood irritability. And usually we hear like their significant other or their spouse or a caregiver. That's something that they may bring up, as well as, you know, trouble sleeping, increased appetite, and affects some blood sugars. And when you're not on the when you're not on the dexamethasone, some patients can have fatigue when they're not on the treatment. So of all the drugs, the dexamethasone is one that usually is the one that usually requires some fine tuning.
Interesting. So what are you most excited for in the future of multiple myeloma?
Right. So, you know, the past, you know, 10 years, 15 years, we've seen lots of great developments in the treatment for multiple myeloma. So drugs like that we were just talking about, like say 20 years ago, drugs like Revlimid, Velcade, you know, Kyprolis, you know, daratumumab, those drugs weren't really available for just in terms of routine use, like say 20 years ago. And now at the time when they were introduced, they were brand new drugs. They were really exciting. Now we take them as standard of care. And now we're moving on to the next frontier in terms of multiple myeloma therapy, where there's some really been exciting new developments in terms of new agents with new targets. So one area that's really exciting would be, for example, BCMA, so which is also known as B-cell maturation, you know, antigen. And this is on the surface of plasma cells, sort of similar to CD38. And there's a drug that was just recently approved for that, also known as Blenrep. But now we have other drugs and other ways of targeting BCMA, such as bispecific engagers, as well as CAR T cells. And these are, the way I think about, you know, multiple myeloma therapy is that it would be great to have like a home run that would cure the disease. But, you know, anytime you have a chance to get at the bat, you know, in terms of just getting on base, it leads to, you know, better outcomes for patients. And I'm hoping that in the future, as we learn more about these new pathways and new targets and new combinations, we do get closer and closer to a cure for this disease.
Mm. What advice would you have for patients who may have just received a diagnosis of their own?
Right. Yeah. No, I think, I do want to appreciate that, you know, getting this diagnosis is a really hard diagnosis, right? Because, you know, you're you're moving forward with your life, and then your life gets turned upside down when you, when someone gets a diagnosis of cancer, and especially in multiple myeloma, it's something that's brand new and something that you've never heard of before. And I think that, when patients start a treatment, I'm hopeful that, with the treatment, when I see a patient, usually the multiple myeloma is sort of front and center, it's on like the front burner. And the hope is that with treatment, the majority of patients I see, we can turn this from being a front burner to something that's on the back burner, that's on the background. And that with these treatments, in the beginning, when for a newly diagnosed patient, the treatment, the schedule, there's a lot of visits for treatment. And some patients might include like an autologous stem cell transplant. But then, the first several months, it's very busy, coming to terms with the diagnosis, seeing the providers, getting to know the people taking care of you. So there's a lot of visits. And I do also appreciate the burden on the caregiver as well. I mean, it's really a team effort. And I think that, we put a lot of work into this, but when you get to a point that we can make this kind of go on to the background. So the majority of patients, it goes from being the front burner to more in the background and kind of more of a back burner issue where patients can, move on with their lives and do the things that they normally do, in terms of, right now, obviously, we have COVID-19 and that's sort of a front burner topic for everybody. But I think that, once with respect to, multiple myeloma, we can get to a point where patients can do the things they normally do in terms of visiting, spending time with their grandchildren, traveling, all the things that you normally would do. And I know there's also this overlay of COVID-19 in the background, but with therapy, the majority of our patients, they can live the fullest life possible. So that's why I'm trying to be, yes, it's big news, but I'm trying to create like an optimistic picture that with the therapies we have, people can really live their life to the fullest.
Well, thank you. That about wraps it up for me. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think a patient audience would be interested to hear about?
I think going through that, I think when you first meet your provider for their first time, I think the whole process can be very overwhelming. But I think that over time, the process gets better to the point where it hopefully becomes part of a smaller part of your day-to-day process. I think I just wanted to share that, part of the, joy that I have in taking care of patients with multiple myeloma is that, as a team, we can definitely help people, live longer and live better. And I think we can, when patients come to see us, they're very stressed and anxious, they don't feel well, but over time we can get them to feeling better. And I think that's why we do what we do.
That's great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.